Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. I'd like you to visit my website when you get time. Do try to subscribe there. Take a moment. You know, all you have to do is give an email address. No other information there, but it helps. If that's the only way you can support is by subscribing to my blog. Yes, my website is a WordPress blog, and that's at crosstheborder.org. And if you'd like to support this program, well, listen for the promotionals during the breaks, and you can support First Amendment Radio, and that supports me and this broadcast. It supports the work here across the border and First Amendment Radio and all of the other fine programming that we have on First Amendment Radio. Do get the DVD, even if you already have it. We've just remastered and done another the 2012 version. We've updated some things. I think it's a much better product now. And like I said, if you already have it, give the old one away and keep the new one, or get the new one so you can make copies and give them away. And we'd like to send it to you. You can get it for nothing. All you have to do is write us and ask for it. It would be nice if you sent $5 cash. That would just cover the costs of the DVD and the materials, the mailing and the shipping and handling and all that stuff. We send you two DVDs, actually. We'll send you the Greatest Prophecy DVD, which has been much expanded and revised. Like I said, I'm sure you'll be happy with it. It has a lot of addendum material. Also has the What Year Is It in a slideshow form at the end of the DVD, and about an additional 3 hours of audio programs with myself and Tom Fress. You'll find the topics very interesting, where we discuss many of the ideas and the prophetic things that that are brought forth in the DVD itself. Also, you receive the What Year Is It booklet. So that's an easy form where you can open the booklet and you can go through the scriptures and you can see all the scriptures that bring forth this chronology that our Heavenly Father has so graciously given us in His Word so that we could know what year it is. So the question is, what year is it? And does anybody really know? Well, we know the Almighty knows, and I believe that we can know fairly closely, perhaps even within 1 year, give or take one, of what year we're in from creation, which gives us a good idea of when the Messiah is going to return and how the rest of the time that we have left will unfold. So you have plenty of ideas there. Anyway, the booklet form, you can open it up, see all the scriptures, you can do all the math yourself, and like some feedback on it. If you think there's an error or some error in judgment there or some miscalculation, you have anything to add or detract, well, you know, I'm all for it. You can go to my website, crosstheborder.org. I have the booklet online there so that you can leave comments for whatever study or whatever posting you're looking at on the appropriate page. crosstheborder.org. Now we're going through Job, and Job is being answered by Bildad the Shuhite, and not very comforting words. Now, you know, I've visited friends who are in the hospital, and a few friends and relatives of the people who were in the hospital dying. And it was quite obvious that it was very unlikely at the time that I was visiting them that they were going to leave the hospital. Now, words of assurance, words of comfort, but not words of accusation, trying to ferret out their sins. I mean, they're on their deathbed. If they regard the Almighty and they proclaim His name, you better believe that He's talking to them and, you know, that they have no illusions. Now, and if someone is even ungodly, it's not time to point out all their sins. I'm sure all their sins are before their face. The thing is to comfort them and point them to Messiah and what He did for them. Perhaps they will repent And those wicked who have no regard for the Almighty, well, sometimes there's nothing you can do, you know, all because they'll be just blaming God. But not so with Job. I mean, the answers of his friends are totally inappropriate for visiting someone on their deathbed who is proclaiming that their house is in the grave. You know, I mean, what does that tell you? Job has accepted the fact that he's going to die. That's what his words proclaim. So what does his friend say? Well, let's see what these, well, not very comforting friends say. So, Bildad the Shuhite says, how long will it be ere you make an end of your words? You know, when are you going to shut up, Job? That's what you want to hear on your deathbed, right? No comfort. When are you going to shut up? I mean, if someone's speaking on their deathbed, I think I'm going to listen. I'm probably going to get a lot more wisdom out of someone who is faced with their mortality. I mean, if I get terribly sick, I start thinking about my mortality, you know. We all know how that is, because we've all been there. If you haven't, then you haven't lived, and maybe you're not really alive. Continuing, how long will it be, or you make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Tell us when you're going to shut up, Job, so we can speak. That's my translation of the Old English there. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. You know, I mean, this is so stupid, Bildad. Because everybody, the light of the wicked shall be put out. But, you know, everyone's light will be put out. The light of their mortality. Now, the wicked, you know, their light will be put out forever. There is a difference. And the spark of his fire shall not shine. But really, he's just accusing Job of being wicked. Because certainly he couldn't come to such a, you know, a terrible end if he weren't, if there weren't some hidden wickedness in his life, some sin that was, you know, unforgiven, that unrepented of. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The djinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. And he's talking about the wicked. All these things are right, of the wicked. But that doesn't mean just because you see men in great travail, trial, or tribulation that they are wicked. You know, I can relate that I'm being persecuted and there are people bringing suit against me, trying to do evil, trying to bring the law against me, using the law as a weapon against me to try to, well, throw me in jail, steal my property, destroy my family. And all the time I'm going through this, I'm thinking, you know, these things could happen to me, but God could prevail. He could allow them to prevail against me. It could happen to the righteous, and it does happen to the righteous. Who can say that the wicked never prevail against the righteous, or that the righteous are never caught up in a storm, or a tsunami, or a tornado, or any of those things? See, it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. You can't automatically judge someone to be wicked just because of the trials and tribulations that they're in. Bildad here continues with his litany about what happens to the wicked. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall be his branch shall be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, and they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. That's why he's pointing at Joseph, and he's pointing at Joseph, I mean, not Joseph, Job, and he's saying, this is the place of him that knoweth not God. Oh, thanks, Bildad. Thanks for coming and comforting me in my trials and tribulations. Job chapter 19. Job answers, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that you make yourselves strange to me. Well, yeah, you're supposed to be my friends. Why do you make yourselves strange to me? Like you didn't know me, you haven't seen my life. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And my hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose, and they spake against me. All of my inward friends abhorred me, and when they whom I loved are turned against me, my bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, and that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen, and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see, yet in my flesh shall I see God. See? Job's hope, all of our hope, the resurrection to life. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is the Redeemer of mankind, the Messiah. All of the righteous, from Adam to John the Baptist, looked forward to the Redeemer of mankind. Adam didn't see him. He heard about him. Well, I couldn't say that Adam didn't see him. Adam saw the pre-incarnate Messiah. He stood there in the garden with him. He made that sacrifice. I know it because the scripture reveals to me that no other could have made that sacrifice. No other qualified to make that sacrifice as the high priest for Adam and Eve when he clothed them with the skins as a temporary covering for their sins so that their life, yes, they shall surely die, but that was put off. They received a grace period. Their mortality was extended. The end of their mortality was put off. So Job proclaims, as all of the righteous proclaim, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Yes, and amen. Hallelujah. "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? But be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth punishments of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment." Job chapter 20. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite, and said, "Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste, for I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment?" These are true words. "Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever, like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hand shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asps within him. He has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asps. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. Because he hath oppressed and hath forsaken the poor, because he hath violently taken away an house which he builded not. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him, and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. It is drawn, and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. All the darkness shall be hid in his secret places. a fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Now here his friend, who is this Eliphaz, of Zophar, the Naamathite, he speaks, all these words he speaks are true. The unfortunate part is that he's speaking them as a reproach against his friend Job. So Job answers him and says, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on." Job is, he's getting a little riled up here. He says, "And after I have spoken, mock on, continue your mockery. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me, and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. And when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, and become old? Yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their day in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from me, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty, that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray to him?" Very good questions, and a very good observation. You know, many people have asked the same question. Why do the wicked prosper? I've asked that question, and I've come to some conclusion. My conclusion is this. Why do the wicked prosper? It's the wisdom of God that they prosper. You know, the other question is, why do the wicked people have all the money? You know, there's a simple answer to that. The simple answer is this. Because they love money. That's right. If you love money, go after it. You know, some of the wicked get it all, and some of the wicked just suffer and serve it for want of it. They love it because they don't have it. And there are those who love it because they have it. They all go down to the grave. You're listening Across the Border.